Hey everyone, and welcome back. It feels like AI is absolutely everywhere these days,
Doesn't it?
especially all this buzz about large language models. It can feel kind of overwhelming trying to keep up with all the latest developments, wouldn't you say?
It really is. The field is moving so fast.
Exactly. And it got me thinking, of all this talk about AI's energy consumption, where are LLMs actually headed? Like, is it all about just building bigger and bigger models, just packing in as many trillions of parameters as possible? Or are we going to see a shift towards smaller, more efficient models that can, achieve the same or even better result without needing so much energy?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's not so simple. It's easy to get caught up in all the hype around these massive models. You hear about GPT-3 with its 175 billion parameters. And then rumors start swirling about, Baidu's Ernie supposedly having something like 10 trillion parameters.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling.
You can't help but be impressed by the sheer scale.
For sure.
But we're also seeing these like smaller, nimbler models that are proving that bigger isn't always better.
Like they're taking on the Goliaths.
And a great example is Microsoft's Phi One. It's got a comparatively tiny 1.3 billion
Wow,
parameters,
that's tiny.
but it can actually hold its own against much larger models in certain tasks.
Really?
And the secret, well, they trained it on this super high quality data set
Interesting.
that focused on like textbook style information. It just shows how focusing on like smarter training and data quality can lead to these surprisingly capable and potentially much more efficient models.
Okay, so it's not just a numbers game. There's more to AI than just throwing more parameters at a problem. But to really understand this landscape, I think we need to take a look at some of the major players. And wow, there's a lot of them.
There are.
So you've got the big commercial players like OpenAI with their GPT series, which, by the way, includes the models that power ChatGPT.
That's right.
We're talking GPT-3, GPT-3.5, GPT-4, and the latest one, GPT-4, which can handle images and video.
It's really interesting, GPT-4o, because it's supposed to make ChatGPT's interactions feel much more like natural, almost human-like, like you're talking to a digital friend.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then, of course, you have Google's Gemini,
Oh, yeah, Gemini.
which is making a lot of
I've
noise
heard some things.
because it can understand not just text, but images, audio, and video.
It's multimodal, is what they call it.
Exactly, multimodal.
Like, it has senses beyond just language. Like, wild.
And then you have Anthropic's Claude,
Right, Claude.
which they designed with a focus on ethical AI principles. So
Interesting.
they really want to ensure that it's, helpful, harmless, and accurate.
So it's not just about pushing the boundaries of what's possible. It's about doing it responsibly. Okay, so you've got these big commercial giants, but then there's also this huge wave of open source LLMs.
It's like a global collaboration
On
on.
steroids.
It's really electrifying.
Absolutely.
It's making this technology accessible to everyone.
And there are some serious contenders in the open
Oh,
source world, right?
definitely.
Like Meta's Llama, which has a whole family of models now. Stability AI's Stable LM, which they're trying to make super transparent. And then Mistral's Mixtral, which is getting a lot of attention for its efficiency.
It is.
These open source models all have something unique to offer,
They do.
and they're evolving incredibly quickly.
One of the most amazing things about open source is that it's fostering this global network of innovation. Anyone can download these models, experiment with them, tweak them, and even contribute back to the community.
It's pretty amazing.
It really is.
It's like a giant collaborative brain constantly learning and adapting.
I like that.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This kind of ties back to our original question about like where LLMs are headed. There's this constant push to scale up more parameters, more data, more processing power. But is that really the only way forward? Could smaller, smarter models be the key to a more sustainable AI future?
Well, that's the debate. Both sides have strong arguments. Larger models, they do offer more complexity and capacity. They can handle more nuanced tasks, learn from more data, and maybe even reach a deeper level of understanding
Yeah,
with
but
more.
there's growing evidence that advances in model architecture,
right,
training methods, and data quality,
yes,
are starting to close the gap.
They are.
Like, we're seeing smaller models get comparable or even better results,
yeah,
than their bigger counterparts,
uh-huh,
but with way fewer resources.
And it's not just about energy consumption. Uh-huh. It's also about accessibility.
Oh, interesting.
Smaller models can run on less powerful hardware.
Boom.
Which means they can be used by more researchers and developers.
So it's like we're at a crossroads.
Yeah.
Do we go down the road of just brute force scale?
Right.
Or do we take the path of elegance and efficiency?
Exactly.
Both are tempting, but the choice we make now will have a huge impact on the future of AI.
Absolutely.
And to help us navigate this crossroads.
Yeah.
We got to look at how these different approaches actually perform.
Right.
That's where benchmarks come in.
Benchmarks are like the proving grounds for LLMs.
Okay.
We get to see which models excel at different tasks.
I like that.
And we start to understand the trade-offs between size and efficiency.
All right, so let's talk about some of these events.
Okay.
We have the Hugging Face Open LLM Leaderboard, which is a big one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
What exactly does that measure?
Well, the Hugging Face Leaderboard is great because it covers a wide range of tasks. Like text summarization, question answering,
yeah,
translation.
So it's like a general assessment of language proficiency.
Yeah, you could say that.
And then you've got the LMSYS chatbot arena.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds a lot more interactive.
It is. The chatbot arena is all about conversational ability.
Okay.
They put different chatbots against each other,
uh-huh,
and users get to vote on which one they think is the most, like, human-like.
So it's like a popularity contest for chatbots.
Yeah, you could say that.
That's pretty cool.
It's a fun way to gauge how well they can hold a conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's MMLU.
MOLU.
Yeah, it stands for...
Might be good to try to pronounce that.
It's a mouthful. It stands for Massive Multitask Language Understanding.
Okay.
Basically, it tests how well a model can understand and reason,
right,
about information from different areas, like science, history, math.
So it's like an academic decathlon for LLMs.
Exactly.
And speaking of specialized skills, there's also Human Eval.
Uh-huh.
Which focuses on coding.
That's right.
It's for anyone looking to use LLMs for software development.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got these events testing different abilities.
Yeah.
From language to conversation to coding.
Right.
But how do they help us understand the trade-offs between size and efficiency?
That's a good question.
Because that's what we're trying to get at, right?
We are.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
We're starting to see that smaller models,
uh-huh,
especially ones using innovative architectures like Mixture of Experts,
right,
are getting impressive results.
Okay.
Often rivaling or even beating their larger counterparts.
Really?
Especially in certain tasks.
So these smaller, more efficient models are holding their own.
They are.
That's amazing.
For instance, in some recent benchmarks, Mistral's Mixtral model,
yeah,
which only has 7 billion parameters,
right,
outperformed Llama, which is a much larger model with 70 billion parameters.
Wow.
In some language understanding tasks.
So it's smaller, but it's doing better.
And probably using way less energy.
That's huge.
It is.
But why are we still so focused on building bigger models?
Well, there are a few reasons.
Okay.
First, bigger models often have a higher potential.
Uh-huh.
They can handle more complex things, learn more nuanced patterns.
Okay.
And potentially reach a deeper understanding.
Right.
Second, there's kind of a bigger is better mentality.
Sure.
Like a drive to just push the boundaries, even if it comes at a cost.
I get that.
And third, there's a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
Companies and research labs have invested a lot in these large models.
Right.
So they're not going to just abandon that investment.
Makes sense.
So it's a combination of factors.
Yeah.
Ambition, momentum, and the belief that bigger models still might hold the key to something even greater.
Okay, so it's not just one thing.
Yeah.
It's a mix of different forces driving this.
Exactly.
But I think what's important to remember,
mm-hmm,
is that it's not about choosing one approach.
Right.
It's about finding the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
And recognizing that different approaches have their own strengths and weaknesses.
For sure.
So as we move forward,
yeah,
it's crucial to stay informed,
mm-hmm,
be aware of the different approaches being developed,
right,
and understand the trade-offs involved.
It's a complex landscape.
It really is.
But it's also incredibly exciting.
That's the thing. It's like there's so much happening.
Yeah.
And it's hard to predict what the future holds.
It really is.
But that's what makes it so fascinating.
Exactly. It's a thrilling time to be following this field.
Couldn't agree more.
Welcome back to our deep dive on LLMs.
Back for more. Last time we were talking about those benchmarks,
right?
Like the LLM Olympics.
I love that.
It helps us see how different LLMs actually perform.
Right.
Right.
And remember, there's no single best LLM.
Right.
It all depends on what you're trying to do.
Different models for different jobs.
It's like a decathlon for AI.
Okay, so let's break down some of these events. We've got the Hugging Face Open LLM Leaderboard, which is a popular one.
Uh-huh.
What does it actually measure?
Well, the Hugging Face Leaderboard is a great place to start because it covers so many different tasks.
Okay.
Like, you know, text summarization, question answering, translation.
Right.
It gives you a good overall sense of a model's strengths and weaknesses.
So it's like a general assessment of how well it understands language.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have the LMSYS chatbot arena.
Oh, yeah, the chatbot arena.
Which sounds a lot more interactive.
It's all about how well a model can actually hold a conversation.
Oh, interesting.
They pit different chatbots against each other.
Uh-huh.
And users get to vote on which one they think is the most human-like and engaging.
It's like a popularity contest for chatbots.
In a way, yeah.
That's fun.
It's a great way to see how well they can, like, connect with people.
And then we've got MMLU.
MMLU.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to say what that stands for.
Don't worry, it's a mouthful. It stands for Massive Multitask Language Understanding.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's basically testing how well a model can understand and reason about information from different domains.
Like different subject areas.
Exactly. Like science, history, math.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a really broad test of knowledge.
It's like an academic decathlon for LLMs.
Exactly.
And then for something more specific, we have Human Eval, which focuses on coding.
Right. That's a key one for anyone interested in using LLMs for software development.
So it basically tests how well a model can write code.
Yeah. It gives them coding problems and then evaluates how accurate and efficient their solutions are.
Okay. So we've got all these different events testing different things.
Mm-hmm.
But how do these benchmarks actually help us understand the trade-offs between, you know, size and efficiency?
That's a great question. And that's where it starts to get really interesting.
Okay, I'm listening.
When you look at the results of these benchmarks,
yeah,
we're starting to see that smaller models, especially the ones using those innovative architectures like Mixture of Experts,
right,
they're getting really impressive results.
Okay.
Often they're rivaling or even beating the larger models.
Really?
Yeah, especially in certain tasks.
So the smaller, more efficient models are actually holding their own.
They are.
That's pretty amazing.
For example, in some recent benchmarks,
okay,
Mistral's Mixtral model, which has 7 billion parameters,
okay,
actually outperformed Llama.
Which is a much larger model, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Llama has 70 billion parameters.
Wow, that's a big difference.
And it's not just about the results.
Right.
That smaller model is probably using way less energy, too.
So it's a win-win.
It really is.
But then, if smaller models are getting so good, why are we still so obsessed with making these massive models?
It's a good question. There are a few reasons, I think.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, those bigger models, they often have a higher potential.
Right.
They can handle more complex tasks, learn more nuanced patterns, and potentially reach a deeper level of understanding.
So they have the potential to be even smarter. But they just require a ton of resources,
right,
and energy.
And second, there's still that bigger is better mentality.
Yeah.
Like there's a drive to just push the boundaries.
The human urge to see how far we can go.
Exactly. Even if it comes at a cost.
I get that.
And third, there's just a lot of momentum.
Okay.
You know, companies and labs have invested so much in building these large models.
They've built their whole infrastructure around it.
Exactly. They're not going to just abandon that overnight.
That makes sense.
So it's a mix of things.
Right.
Ambition, momentum, and the belief that bigger models might still hold the key to unlocking something even greater.
It's like we're still exploring, trying to figure out the best path forward.
Exactly. And it's an exciting time to be a part of it.
Absolutely. But I think what's important to remember is that it's not about picking one approach over the other.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that different approaches have different strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
We need to be smart about how we use these different tools.
Exactly. It's about finding the right tool for the job.
And as we move forward in this field,
yeah,
it's crucial to stay informed and be aware of all the different approaches.
Absolutely. Things are changing so quickly.
It's hard to keep up sometimes.
It really is. But that's also what makes it so fascinating.
Couldn't agree more.
There's always something new to learn and explore.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into LLMs. We've covered so much ground already.
We have.
You know, from those smaller, more efficient models to all the work being done to make AI more energy friendly.
Right.
But before we wrap things up,
yeah,
there's one more crucial piece we need to talk about.
Absolutely.
The human side of the equation.
We can't forget about that.
Right. Because AI is a tool.
Yeah.
And like any tool, it can be used for good or for, you know, not so good.
Right.
So let's talk about the ethics of LLMs.
Okay.
What are some of the potential risks and challenges we need to be thinking about?
Well, one of the biggest concerns is bias. Yeah. You know, these models are trained on massive data sets.
Uh-huh.
And if those data sets reflect existing biases in society,
right,
the models can learn and perpetuate those biases.
Oh, that's a problem.
It is.
Especially in areas like hiring or lending.
Exactly. Even criminal justice.
That's kind of scary.
It is a serious concern.
Yeah, it's like those biased algorithms we've seen in the news.
Right.
We definitely don't want that happening with LLMs.
And it's not always intentional bias.
What do you mean?
Well, even if the people creating these models have good intentions, unconscious biases can still creep into the data.
Oh, I see.
And influence how the model behaves.
No,
like,
no.
All right.
So it's like, even if you're trying to be fair,
yeah,
there can still be hidden biases lurking in the data.
Exactly.
It's tricky.
It is a complex problem.
So what can we do about it?
Well, there's no easy solution.
Right.
But there's a lot of research being done.
Okay.
One approach is to carefully curate the data sets.
Like, make sure they're as unbiased as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And audit them regularly.
Okay.
Another approach is to develop techniques to de-bias the models themselves.
So, like, fix the models if they start showing bias.
Right.
And I guess it's also important to involve diverse perspectives.
Absolutely. The more diverse the team building and using these models,
yeah,
the less likely they are to be biased.
Okay, so it's about being proactive.
Exactly. Acknowledge that bias exists.
Right.
And take steps to address it.
From the very beginning.
Throughout the whole process.
All right, so that's bias.
Mm-hmm.
What other ethical concerns are there?
Well, transparency is another big one.
Transparency.
Yeah, as these models become more complex and more integrated into our lives,
yeah,
it's important that we understand how they work.
Sure. But isn't that hard?
It can be.
I mean, even experts have trouble understanding these models sometimes.
It's true. They can be very complex.
Right.
But there's a growing movement for more transparency.
Okay.
And explainability in AI.
So trying to make these models easier to understand.
Exactly.
Okay.
Researchers are developing techniques to make them more interpretable.
Like opening up the black box.
Yeah, kind of. Giving us a peek into how they make decisions.
That would be helpful.
It would.
It would definitely help build trust.
To make it easier to spot and fix any problems.
Right, because if you don't know how something works,
yeah,
you can't really trust it, can you?
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about bias.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about transparency.
Right.
What else is there?
Well, accountability is a big one.
Accountability?
Yeah, like who's responsible when an LLM makes a mistake?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or causes harm.
Is it the developers?
Possibly.
The users?
Maybe.
The companies deploying the model?
It could be any of them.
That's tough.
It is a complex question.
It's like trying to figure out who's at fault when a self-driving car crashes.
Exactly. It's a legal and ethical minefield.
And it's only going to get more complicated as AI becomes more powerful.
It will.
So we need to figure this out. We need to have clear guidelines and frameworks in place.
Absolutely. So that AI is used responsibly.
Right.
And so that there are ways to address problems when they arise.
Because they will arise.
Inevitably.
Okay, so we've talked about the potential risks of LLMs.
Yeah.
Bias, transparency. Accountability.
Important stuff.
But we also need to remember the incredible opportunities.
Oh, absolutely.
LLMs have the potential to do so much good in the world.
They do.
You know, address climate change, fight poverty, cure diseases.
The possibilities are endless.
It's exciting.
It really is. It's a reminder that despite the challenges, AI also has the potential to make a positive impact.
So it's up to us to make sure it's used for good.
Right.
All right. So we've explored the risks.
Yeah.
We've seen the potential.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the bigger picture?
What do you mean?
Like, how will LLMs change society as a whole?
Ah, the big question.
How will they affect work, education, our relationship?
Well, that's something people will be debating for years to come.
I'm sure.
But there's no doubt LLMs will have a profound impact.
On everything.
Pretty much.
Let's start with work.
Yeah.
A lot of people are worried about AI taking their jobs.
It's a valid concern.
Yeah.
Some jobs will definitely be automated.
Right.
But AI can also create new jobs and opportunities.
So it's not necessarily about replacing humans.
No.
But about humans and AI working together.
Exactly. And that's where the real potential lies.
I like that.
Combining human ingenuity with the power of AI.
Okay, so that's work.
Uh-huh.
What about education?
I think LLMs have the potential to revolutionize education.
Really?
Think about it.
Okay.
Personalized learning, real-time feedback,
yeah.
Making education more accessible to everyone.
It's like everyone has a personal tutor.
Exactly. And LLMs can also help teachers.
How so?
By automating tasks like grading or lesson planning.
So teachers can focus on, like, the human aspects of teaching.
Exactly. Inspiring and mentoring their students.
That makes sense.
It's all about using AI to augment human capabilities.
Not replace them.
Right.
And lastly, relationships.
Wow, relationships.
Well, how will LLMs change how we interact with each other?
That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
On the one hand, AI could help us connect with people from all over the world.
Break down barriers.
Exactly. But on the other hand,
yeah.
We could become too reliant on AI for companionship.
And lose some of that human connection.
The balance.
Like with everything else we've talked about.
Exactly. We need to be mindful of the risks,
mm-hmm.
but also embrace the opportunities.
Okay, so we've covered a lot in this deep dive.
We have.
From the technical details of LLMs to the ethical implications.
And the potential impact on society.
It's been an incredible journey.
It has.
And I hope you've all enjoyed listening.
I've enjoyed talking about it.
But remember, the future of AI is not set in stone.
Right.
It's something we're all shaping together.
Through our choices?
And our actions.
Let's make sure we use AI for good.
Yeah.
To build a better world for everyone.
That's what it's all about.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries.
And remember, the future is what we make it.